This is 21st Century Reformation at 21stcr.org.
We were talking earlier about Jesus on Jesus, or Jesus by Jesus. In other words, what an amazing thing that we would frame our Christology, our understanding of Christ, based on what he himself said. Who would have thought that?
what a novel idea, huh?
What a strange idea. Usually when we want to talk Christology, we're talking about some Gentile
philosophical
Christians who lived after Bible times, whose names are hard to pronounce.
Yeah.
And we're looking to them to find out about Christ.
Yeah.
But you're saying, just bypass all of that. Let's get right back to what Jesus said about Jesus. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, and you know, there's several avenues to go. First of all, let's think about what God said about Jesus. Even the voice from heaven. Peter recalls the voice of the Almighty at the baptism and the transfiguration and in the garden. So let's listen to God first. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's pretty basic, isn't it?
Wow.
This is my Son. And then I challenged my Master and Messiah class. In the New Testament, 27 times uses the phrase, my Son.
Wow.
How many of those are from God through Scripture or through the very voice of God directed at Jesus?
Wow.
And, you know, we worked this out in class. I thought I knew, but they challenged me on a few things.
Great.
We came up with 12 times where God says, this is my Son. Our Scripture says, my Son. You know, Psalm 2 talks about my Son. And when that's quoted, 12 times in the New Testament, God refers to Jesus as my Son. Simple.
Fantastic.
Statement. And then Jesus by Jesus, John 10:36, I said, I am the Son of God.
Son
Revelation,
of God.
Yeah. Son of God.
I love that.
And Revelation, Son of God. And we know also that Jesus says, my God, 10 times.
Wow.
You know, touch me not, John 20:17. I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.
Wow.
So Jesus has a God, and that is the Lord God Almighty, the Lord God of the Shema and so forth. But another avenue to look at Christology, so we've gone God, what God said, and then Jesus, by Jesus, is to look at Peter's discussion. You know, Peter is one of the foremost apostles.
Right.
And so, and Peter has three sermons in Acts, Acts 2, Acts 3, and Acts 10.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter is kind of the spokesman.
Sure.
When, you know, they were walking around and Jesus says, whom do men say that I am, that the Son of Man is?
Right.
And they say, oh, he's this or he's that, or he's John the Baptist come back to life, or Jeremiah the prophet.
Right.
But who do you? And how would we respond? We would. Many Christians today would respond with a Greek philosophical notion. Oh, you're a, you know, part of the divine triune, yada, yada, yada. But what did Peter say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, 10 simple words, Dan.
Wow.
And so this is another KISS statement. Keep it simple. The Shema is 6 simple words. The words of Jesus, I am the Son, I am the Son of God, 5 simple words. And so Peter comes up with 10 simple, clear words. You are the Messiah, Christ, the Son of the living God. 10 simple words. And of course, you know, Matthew 16:16. But also, let's look at this in Acts 2. We're kind of just going to walk through these three sermons just very quickly. Verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him.
No, indeed, indeed.
In your midst, as you yourselves know. Look, isn't that a beautiful Christological passage?
Wow.
This Jesus, you know, man attested. And God what? God performed miracles through him.
Indeed, indeed.
That's what Peter says. And you killed him, verse 23. This man delivered over by the foreknowledge and plans of God, godless men put to death. Verse 24. But God raised him from the dead.
This is too easy, isn't it?
This is the basic Christology of the Bible.
That's right.
And, you know, get back to the basics.
Wow. Well, if we're not going to believe Jesus and his earliest disciples about who he was, then why are we here, Dr. Joe? I mean, what's the point?
What's the point if we can't accept?
But we're going to believe what the other folks said of a very contrary fashion.
Yeah.
Centuries later.
He's talking about, and David is both died and buried. And verse 31, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Messiah, the Christ, when he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay.
Right.
So Jesus fulfills all those prophetic promises of God about the coming Messiah, the HaMashiach. The Hebrew is HaMashiach, the anointed of God.
Right.
And, Dr. Colin Brown says that Jesus' baptism, when the Spirit is poured out on Jesus without measure, that was his anointing as the Prince coming King. Hallelujah, wow. Praise God, amen. you want to read verse 32 and 33. This is super Christological passage.
This is great. Verse 32, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses.
Hmm.
So what were they going around witnessing?
Yeah.
That God raised Jesus up. And I love this. And then verse 33, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing.
Remember, this is the day of Pentecost. Peter's got to explain this according to Scripture, and he does so. And he says, this Jesus has been exalted to the right hand of God.
I love it.
Isn't that beautiful?
Wow.
The simplicity of the Scripture just drawing out. And so this is one of the greatest apologetic verses for a time for the Jewish people who believed in Christ as the Messiah. They said, this is the one.
Wow.
Well, where is he? He's at the right hand of Almighty God according to Scripture. And it says that in verse 34, which quotes Psalm 110. For it is not David who ascended into heaven, for he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord. And I know you and Sir Anthony and others have talked about the Psalm 110:1. The Lord God, Yahweh, said to my master, sit at my right hand.
Yes.
Well, who could that be? Peter says it's Jesus.
That's right.
Isn't that beautiful?
Wow.
And the coup d'etat, or whatever the Latin is for the cutting blow, is in verse 36. Therefore, when Peter says therefore, it's the punchline. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified.
Isn't this wonderful?
That's beautiful. The simplicity.
So now we don't have all the confusion about a God who dies, which is very strange, and the Bible never said such a thing. And we don't have all of the business about God kind of pretending to be a man or taking on man, whatever all that's supposed
to be. The whole confusion, that's just a facade. If the Bible says Jesus was tempted in every way like as I am, then he endured the agony of temptation. He understood us. He was one of us who went through it. Not a fake.
Not a facade. Not a facade, but a real human being. And now the glory of all this to us is that you and I, who are real human beings.
Real human beings.
We now have the ability to look by faith at the work of God in this Jesus, a real human being, one of us, who raised him from the dead, which gives
us
assurance that God will also
raise us
from the dead.
Yeah.
And this too, Dr. Joe, you were talking earlier about Hebrews and the angels, but God has set a man at his own right hand.
And later on, Paul, when he's on Mars Hill in Acts 17, the Areopagus, he says, And God has appointed a day. This unknown God that you Greek philosophers don't know.
They had no
idea.
But
God has appointed a day in which he would judge the world by that man.
Absolutely.
And so this verse is a clarifying verse.
It's wonderful.
This Jesus, whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ, Master and Messiah. So
it.
The Lord God said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. So obviously they said they were pierced to the heart. What shall we do? Repent and be baptized. And that's just the sermon on Pentecost. Yeah. Flip on over to Acts 3. This is good Christological things going on. Now, in this passage, you know, Peter explains the healing of the lame man.
Right.
You know, and so we start about verse 11, and it's very similar. Verse 12, but when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Why do you gaze at us as if by our own power and yeah. piety this man walks? Verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus.
Wow.
You go all the way back to Isaiah 42, 49, 50, yeah. 52, 53. The Eved Yahweh, the servant of God.
Wow. Well, and as you say, or you were mentioning recently, God doesn't say, behold, look at me. He says, behold, my servant. What he's presenting is another one yeah. who is God's servant, and that is Jesus.
Yeah, behold my servant. Behold, hine, the Hebrew is, Hine Evadi, behold my servant. This is an individual who is doing the perfect will of God, and that's the one we're talking about. And going down to verses 14 and 15. But you disown the holy and righteous one and ask for a murder to be granted, but put to death. Listen to the Christological application or implication of this. You put to death the Prince of Life,
wow.
the one whom God has raised from the dead.
Wow. Isn't that wonderful?
The Prince. What is a Prince? A Prince is someone waiting to be king, isn't it? Yeah. So this Prince, you crucified. Of course, Mashiach means anointed one, as Saul was anointed by Samuel, and then David was anointed by Samuel. Jesus has been anointed by God to be King of the earth, Melech Haaretz would be the Hebrew. He's to be King of the earth and King of the kingdom, King of kings and Lord of lords. And this is what Peter says, you put to death the Prince of Life, the coming King, whom God raised from the dead, and we are witnesses.
Oh my
this.
Goodness.
Isn't that beautiful?
I love it.
He goes on to say in verse 18, but the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of the prophets, that his Christ, a lot of people, his Christ would suffer, he thus has fulfilled. So a lot of people, what people are saying in their Hellenistic Christology is that, you know, God is the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere in rabbinical tradition, nowhere in rabbinical thought, except for the notion as an agent of God, of a Shaliach, is God the Messiah. So the whole Hellenistic philosophy that God is the Messiah, no, God was in Christ, it doesn't say God was Christ, but God was in Christ reconciling the world. And so Peter says God announced beforehand that his Messiah would suffer. Now the Jews couldn't get over the fact that they thought their Messiah was going to conquer Rome.
Right.
Everyone's looking for immediate relief. God is looking for eternal relief, kingdom relief, released from the dominion of darkness to the dominion of light
wow.
when Jesus suffered and died.
Absolutely.
This is good Christology, that his Messiah must suffer.
Wow.
And offer that perfect sacrifice. But one day, we need to repent and return that your sins may be wiped away in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And he will send Jesus for the restoration of all things.
Mm-mm-mm.
Sister Sharon videotaped the presentation we had at our general conference. Restoration of all things, the restitution. Apokatastasis is from according to the original state. Apokatastasis. So this Jesus, God's Christ, God's Messiah, is going to restore all things.
Wow.
Isn't that,
yes.
And that's the kingdom of God on the earth.
No.
And so, verse 22, Moses says, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like unto me. To him shall you give heed. Verse 26, the final, and this is the blow. For you first, to the Jew first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways.
Oh, wow.
Look at the Christology in Peter's second sermon here. We are witnesses. He is the Prince of Life. God raised him up. And God had announced beforehand, through the prophets, Isaiah especially, that his Messiah would suffer, but he's coming again to restore all things.
Wow. Yeah.
So this just bam, 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 those three sermons. And even in another substantial sermon is Acts 10.
Oh, yes.
You know, where he goes to Cornelius. And we don't need to go into all the sheet and the dreams and the angels and the visions. Let's get to the meat of the sermon and look at the Christology basically in 34. This is Acts 10, verse 34. Opening his mouth, Peter said. So Peter is giving this, verse 36. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Verse 38, you know Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. So even Cornelius, who was living during that time, he knew about Jesus. You know about this man. It was common knowledge.
Yes, yes.
Even in over Caesarea and Joppa, it was common knowledge that this Jesus that God anointed, for God was with him.
Wow. That just says it, doesn't it? It says it all.
It's simplicity. Yeah.
Not he was God, but God was with him.
Amen. Amen, Brother Dan.
Why can't we enjoy the simplicity of the Scriptures?
I don't understand.
We have to have this complicated, post-biblical, Gentile stuff.
Yeah.
When in reality, the truth serves us much better.
Richard Foster had this book, The Celebration of Discipline. He has inward, outward, and so one of those 12 was simplicity. And he used the verse, Ecclesiastes 7:29, out of the Old Jerusalem Bible. It says, God made man simple. His complex problems are of his own devising. We have made a very complex Christology that everyone looks at. The Jew looks at and says, ooh, I don't know if I can believe that Nicaea Chalcedonian Hellenistic Jesus. Yeah. And the Muslim looks at it and says, whoa, I can't understand all that weird, the stuff that, you know, how does this all involve? But, you know, God made man simple. This is basic Christology that Peter is preaching here to Cornelius. This Jesus, you know, is the one that God has appointed. Again, verse 38. You know Jesus of Nazareth, God anointed him, for God was with him, and we are witness him. Verse 40. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible. So we saw him after resurrection. Paul says, if you don't believe me, go talk to the 500 who were still alive. Some of them who are still alive. Right. Go ask them if they saw Jesus.
Right, right.
Yeah, and verse 42. And he ordered us to preach to the people and to solemnly testify that this is the one appointed by God.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
The simplicity of biblical Christology is there, and we must reform, as James Dunn has said, according to the canon of Scripture. This has to be a continual reforming. Every generation needs to relook at Scripture and acknowledge that this is the one that God has appointed to judge the living and the dead.
Oh my goodness, yes, yes.
So, Christology based on the biblical statement. So, summarizing again, we look at Christology based on the words of God.
Yes.
The ipsissima verba of God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Psalm 2, why did the nations conspire and the people plot in vain against Yahweh, the Lord, and His anointed one? And this is where he says, you are my Son. And so Peter follows that the same way. Mm. And then you look at the words of Christ. Mm. I am the Son of God.
Wow.
You know, and so, and then you look at this basic testimony of the early church. Mm. And as you were saying, the early church, I believe, had it right. Mm. It wasn't until later in the 2nd century and the 3rd century, especially when you get to Nicaea, when the emperor, Constantine, is calling the shots.
Yes, yes.
And Rubinstein's book, When Jesus Became God, talks about the feuding and the fighting and the dealing and the wheeling and dealing of philosophers and emperors and bishops who were in it for the money quite often, changed Christology.
Wow.
It is so sad. Until we get back to the biblical Jesus based on the Word of God.
I love it. I love it.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, to me, Dr. Joe, I'm so much more comfortable following the words of God, the words of Jesus, the words of Peter.
Amen.
I'm more comfortable resting my understanding of these matters on them.
My faith.
And when you start getting into these non-biblical guys who came along later, and the church wants now retrospectively to venerate them as though they were some great guys. Mm. Well, how about Jesus? Let's just get on back to Jesus.
How about Jesus and Peter and Paul? We could even go to Paul, but how about acknowledge the very words of God, the very words of Jesus, the very words of Peter, and the very words of Paul, and all the apostles regarding who Jesus is.
And it's very simple.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Excellent.